Welcome to Life in Debt, your practical debt education program. This is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, an award-winning, listener-supported, open-source grassroots community radio station broadcasting from the Cultural District in Fairfield. Please note that these presentations are provided as a public service for general information purposes only and are not intended to be legal opinions, legal advice, or complete discussions of any legal issues. Remember, every individual's factual situation is different, and you should seek independent legal advice from an attorney familiar with the laws of your state or locality regarding specific information. The name of this show is Life and Debt, and it is a weekly half-hour educational show looking at all types of issues related to debt as it influences your life. This show provides practical, general knowledge about what to look for regarding debt, what are traps and pitfalls, and what to do to be an educated debtor. It's useful to get some notebook, paper, and pen to take notes during the show. The next series of shows I'd like to embark upon is All Your Worth, The Ultimate Lifetime Money Plan, which I have spent time on years ago, but which I feel is something we need to revisit in light of the challenges in our economy. The book, All Your Worth, is by Elizabeth Warren, who most of you know about now. She is a senator from Massachusetts, the first female senator from that state, and she has been a very important person in dealing with many debt issues, credit card issues, and issues to help the middle class in particular at the governmental level in the last few years. But before that, as a writer and scholar, a professor at Harvard University. She has a number of books, and All Your Worth was written with her daughter, Amelia Warren Tiagi. What I will follow for the most part is her book, All Your Worth, as the textbook in this series. Now, continuing from where I stopped last week, any rich person will tell you it's not how much you make, it's how much you keep. Saving is what protects you from that rainy day, and it's what makes your future brighter. Saving is the road to wealth creation. Of course, you know this, and so you work hard. You don't buy the designer coffee beans. Your house is not the finest in the city or even on the block. And yet, does it seem that you can't quite get ahead? Is your savings plan a next month will do it because this month never works out? We'll have a self-test about do you struggle to save? Again, as in the other tests, you're going to respond with a true or false to the following statements. I work hard, but I don't save much. True or false? I carry a balance on my credit cards most months. I don't have a plan for regular saving. I worry about having enough for retirement. If I lost my paycheck for 3 months, I don't know what I would do. When I have to deal with small emergencies, examples, car trouble, extensive dental work, I have to use my credit cards or pay the bills off over time. I don't have a real plan for saving for college for my children. I owe money to a friend or loved one. When I make a major purchase, like a new sofa or a dishwasher, I need to pay in installments. I try to save, but I worry about whether it's enough. So all those were true or false answers. If you marked true for more than one of these questions, you are struggling to save enough. Maybe you are putting something away, but you worry about whether it's enough. Or maybe you're caught on that endless get-ahead, fall-behind treadmill where you never create any real wealth. You may think that building savings is just a matter of buckling down and using your willpower. That's certainly the impression you get from a lot of financial experts and, of course, from your mother-in-law or other senior family member. But according to Elizabeth Warren and her daughter, the truth is having enough money for savings has little to do with willpower. Instead, it is about balance. which we have raised already, the critical concept, balance. At the beginning, we told you that there are only three categories for your money: must-haves, wants, and savings. If you spend too much on one thing, then something else will be shortchanged. This leads to a simple but very powerful insight. If you aren't saving enough, it is because you are spending too much on your wants or your must-haves, or both. If you're struggling to save, you should find this extremely comforting. Why? Because once you get your must-haves and your wants into balance, you will start saving automatically. You can do it without breaking a sweat. No more worrying about whether you're saving enough. No more buckling down. Just a simple automatic plan for saving a certain portion of your paycheck every single month. Our goal is to determine exactly where your money is out of balance so you can start developing your own plan to create some real wealth. We're going to look at the balanced money formula. For everyone who can't seem to get ahead, the key is the same. Get the money balanced. That is enough for the must-haves, enough for wants, and enough for savings. Sometimes people are tilting in different directions as a couple. They can be all out of balance and in danger of crashing financially. And no matter how hard they scramble, they just can't get caught up, can't build toward the future, and can't stop worrying. But once a couple like this sees what was wrong and brings their money into balance, they start to get ahead. They learn that they finally could have enough. This is exactly how the balanced money formula works. There is always enough for each of the three categories: must-haves, wants, and savings. Each follow a preset formula. They are always balanced against each other. Now, this is really important. You may want to write this down. It's simple. It's a formula, and here it is. Must-haves, 50%. Wants, 30%. Savings, 20%. So once again, the balanced money formula is must-haves, 50%, wants, 30%, and savings, 20%. So Elizabeth Warren has given us the simple, direct, and effective formula. This is the bullseye, the center of a lifetime plan for your money. Testing yourself against the balanced money formula is a little like checking your cholesterol against the recommended levels. It helps you flag when something is wrong, and it shows you where you need to take a closer look at your money choices. For most of us, it will become obvious in which area we are out of balance. For example, if we're spending nearly 80% of our money on must-haves, getting the must-haves under control is the path to balance. Another person may be putting too much into their wants. Let's say 60% of one's income and 40% in the must-haves category, the basic subsistence needs. And of course, in that example, there's nothing left over for savings. So a person like that has to get control of the wants as the key to success. Different problems, but they come back to the same solution, balance. So we have, again, the 50-30-20 formula. Question is it ever all right to deviate from the 50-30-10 formula? Yes, there are special times in life when you may shift away from the basic pattern. If your income dips, say your hours are cut, or you take a few months off to care for a sick family member, then nearly all your money would go to must-haves while you would cut back on wants and savings until things got back to normal. And there can be special circumstances that may cause a permanent shift away from the balanced money formula. An independent contractor supporting a family might decide he needs to put even more into savings to protect against the times when business is slow. Or an older couple with a passion for travel and a fully paid mortgage might choose to go light on the must-haves so they could go heavier on the wants. Later, we will look into special situations, but for now, this idea front and center. The balanced money formula is the right place for most people most of the time, and it is a good place to aim for in your lifetime money plan. And I'll come back to this after station identification. This is Iowa Bankruptcy Attorney Robert Liptak, and you are listening to Life and Debt, your debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP, 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, and beyond. So now let's look at each of these three sections in a little more detail. First, why 50% for must-haves? In fact, this is the first question that most people are going to ask. The must-haves get only half your money. Half? How can that be? Are we saying you live on only half your money? Not exactly. We're saying you should limit the hardcore commitments to at most half of your income. Remember, must-haves are the things you will have to pay no matter what. But you may still wonder, if these are must-haves, why don't they claim 60% or even 80%? After all, how can it be wrong to spend money on things you must have? Why 50%? Well, according to Professor Warren, there are three simple reasons. One, it is sustainable. Anyone can live on rice cakes for a day. Anyone can hold her breath for 15 seconds. And anyone can spend everything on the rent and the car payments for a very short time. All your worth is not about getting straight with your money for a month. It's about getting straight for life. A diet that works for only a day is as worthless as lipstick on a pig. A spending plan that works for only a month is worth even less. Spending 50% of your income on must-haves is sustainable. It leaves you with plenty of money for the rest of your life, enough for fun and enough for the future, enough to last a lifetime. So again, it is sustainable. Second point, it is safe. When everything is going well, you should have money for what you must have and for what you want. But let's face it, over a lifetime, and particularly in our economic climate, things don't always go according to plan. Sometimes the rain falls and you don't have an umbrella. Money balance is the key to keeping you safe when things go wrong. So suppose you get laid off. That's no fun to think about, but we all know it could happen. If your must-haves take only 50% of your income, then how would you fare? A lot better than you might think. With must-haves at 50%, your unemployment check could cover your needs for several months. In most states, unemployment insurance covers roughly 50% of your previous salary up to certain limits. Knowing you can cover the basics should take some of the terror out of the pink slip. Likewise, if you were in a serious accident and you couldn't work, most disability policies would cover about half of your salary, and so your basic needs would be met. And if you are married, keeping your must-haves at 50% means that you could get by on only one paycheck for a while. Keeping your must-haves down to 50% gives you something that is so incredibly valuable, and that's flexibility. If your must-haves creep higher, say to 70 or 80%, there just isn't much room to maneuver. There's not any space to scale back, nowhere you can cut if you need to. But if you can get by on 50% of your income, you have the flexibility to cut back on your spending maneuver whenever you need to. You are in control. You can manage an unexpected expense like a car accident or a leaky roof. You'll be okay if your boss cuts your hours. If you keep your must-have expenses under 50%, you can stay light on your feet, ready to roll with the punches. So, again, the second point is it is safer. Now, the third point, it has been tested over time. Professor Warren goes back to 50% for the must-haves because that number worked for Americans for a long, long time. A generation or so ago, most families spent half or even less of their incomes on the must-haves. As a result, most people were able to put money away each and every month. Unlike today, savings was the norm. I recommend that you read The Two Income Trap by Elizabeth Warren, because she actually goes over the details of this historically. But the bottom line is this. Bankruptcy rates were low years ago. Foreclosures were rare, and very few people even knew what a repo man did for a living. Getting rich little by little was commonplace. People did it every day. People also worried less, a whole lot less. They knew they could make it to the end of the month, and they knew they had plenty of money for a rainy day. So they slept easier and smiled more. Not a bad model for us to learn from. So that's the 50% must-haves reasons. And certainly there are a lot more. Now let's go to the next category, wants. Why 30% for wants? The reason is you deserve some space where you can relax and enjoy yourself. This is what life is all about, the right now reward for all your hard work. This is the place for all the treats and extras, the things that give life spice. A new set of speakers, plane tickets to grandma's, aerobics classes, Christmas presents, and on and on. These are bought with fun money, the free money set aside for your wants. Unlike the must-have category, which is very restrictive in what gets included, wants is a totally open field. Maybe your fun money goes to music CDs or DVDs with your favorite actress. Or maybe you want to take lessons in something or get massages. Maybe you think other people's wants are boring or dumb or icky, while your wants are cool, sensitive, or socially responsible. Be that as it may, the fact remains, you can spend your money on anything you want. Anything at all. It doesn't matter one bit. If you want to spend it piercing your belly button and playing the slots in Vegas, no one's going to raise an eyebrow. The fun is almost unlimited in choices. Dresses or food, treats for your animals, flowers, whatever strikes your fancy. There is only one rule. The wants category has a lid, and the lid is clamped down tight. There is no limit on how you spend fun money, but when it is gone, it is truly gone. No fudging around the edges, no borrowing against next month's fun money, no nibbling out of the savings. You can safely spend this much, but no more. In short, you can spend your wants money on anything that strikes your fancy, so long as you stay within the 30% of your income. A spending cap can sound so dreary, full of denial and no, no, no. But this cap is all about liberation, not deprivation. When you know that it is okay to spend because the limits have been worked out, then you really can enjoy your money. Setting aside a specific amount for your wants is the key to breaking the cycle of crash diet budgeting. It puts an end to those fits of good intentions when you suddenly declare you must clamp down on all extra spending immediately. Talk about the road to misery. It's like telling yourself that since you need to lose weight, you must never, ever eat anything but raw vegetables. It is impossible to live like that for very long, so either you deny yourself all the time and feel lousy, or you splurge and feel guilty. Either way, you are perpetually caught between the two sides to the trash compactor, misery from constant denial and guilt from having fun. You always feel bad about your money, and since you're never quite sure how to get caught up, you don't get any closer to a real solution to your problems. The balanced money formula helps you break that cycle, and I will return to this after station identification. This is Iowa bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you are listening to Life and Debt, your debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP, 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, and beyond. By figuring out now what is a must-have and what is a want, you make it very easy to follow the golden rule of financial responsibility. Pay your must-haves first. The wants should never ever compete for money with your must-haves. In other words, when everything goes well, there is money for must-haves and wants. But if something goes wrong, the wants are the first thing you cut. There is no money for a trip to Las Vegas or a new set of speakers until the car payment and the rent are paid. You already know this, but saying it out loud today makes it a lot easier to cut right to the chase should the need ever arise. If that rainy day ever comes, you'll know right where to head for shelter. The balance money formula helps you create a prominent place for the money you spend on your wants. No guilt, no worry, just fun. It's grounded in reality because it starts with what you earn each month. It's safe because you spent it after you've set aside enough for your basic needs. And it's worry-free because you've given yourself 100% permission to spend it. You'll be surprised how much more fun this spending can be. Now, the third category is savings. 20% for savings. And you'll think at the beginning here, are we kidding? Savings comes at the end of the balanced money formula rather than at the beginning. That isn't because savings isn't important. It is. Savings comes at the end so you know how to find money to save. All your worth makes savings really, really easy. Think about the formula. 50% for must-haves and 30% for wants. That means that the 20% for savings is automatic. It just happens. Once you get the plan in place, you bring must-have and want expenses into line, you will have your 20% left over for savings. No need for a Herculean we have to tighten our belts so we can save for a house or the kids' college or whatever. No boom and bust bank account. Just a simple, steady, month-by-month plan to build your wealth. So why 20%? Maybe you felt it. The rush in the pit of your stomach when you hear the pinging sound in your car and you wonder how you'll ever pay the mechanic. The tightness in your chest when the plumber tells you it will take $275 to fix the shower. The rock-hard knots in your back when you realize that the check you mail to the electric company will probably bounce. These are feelings of not having any savings. And when you start to save, when you really sock it away month after month, these feelings, of course, are going to stop. You can put these feelings in a box and mail them to the moon because they won't be with you anymore. Setting aside 20% of your income will put some money in the bank fast. You will build a cushion that is there when you need it. This cushion will let you end, once and for all, the worry over life's little financial emergencies. It will take a lot of sting out of things that go wrong because you will know that you can manage. When you have some money in the bank, you can relax. In other words, savings isn't just about living better tomorrow. It's about living better today. Also, if you are like most Americans, you're probably carrying a balance on your credit cards. And then there are those old medical bills and maybe an IOU to your sister. Your debts worry you and you know you should pay them off. But where do you find the money? Your 20% for savings will go toward your future, but it will also go toward paying off your debt. With 20% for savings, you know exactly where the money to pay off your debts will come from. No more hold your breath until Visa is paid. And no more credit card balances that linger for years. Just a rock-solid plan for you to pay off all your past debts fast, because it's time to get on with building your future. You may want to spend your golden years learning karate or writing the great American novel or just fishing with the grandkids. No matter what your dreams are, Elizabeth Warren's book, All Your Worth, will help you save enough to spend those years in comfort and dignity. And this plan, the All Your Worth plan, is what we're going over. According to the smartest economists out there, that takes a minimum of 10% of your income to get ready for retirement. The balanced money formula we've been going over earmarks 20% for savings, so you will have enough to save for retirement and have plenty left over for all your other dreams. When you get your money in balance, you start building a powerful habit. You create a pattern of saving month in and month out. And that's the real secret to wealth creation. It doesn't come from sudden, heavy-duty lifting. Instead, it comes gradually, a dollar at a time. It's a little like staying in shape. You don't run 100 miles one day a year. You run a few miles each and every week. And so all your worth shows you how to put aside 20% of each and every paycheck so you can start building real wealth $1 at a time. How does your money stack up then? Okay, let's look at this. You're about to do something most people have never done. Take stock of your money. Are you feeling a little nervous about this? Does it sound like it might help, but it may be a little hard? Okay, let's pause for a minute and go back to something that was said earlier. No one can live a real life counting every penny. No one can have fun if every smoothie and every new shoelace has to be recorded in some journal. That isn't living. And we don't ever ask you to do that. Instead, we're going to ask you to do something far more interesting and far more powerful. We want you to get the big picture on where you are spending your money, a big one-time snapshot so you can answer the question once and for all. Where is your money going? We'll do this once, and then we'll help you put the insights you gain into a plan that will work day after day. So I'm going to start with what you make. Your earnings are the backbone of your lifetime money plan. To calculate what you make, and of course you're going to need some paper and pen, you have to enter all the money that comes in on a regular basis. In other words, a month's worth of your and your partner's take-home paychecks. And that monthly income could include child support, tips, and all other sources of income. If income is variable, take the average of several months. I would suggest at least 6. And if your income is seasonal, then I would go a whole year, if that is doable. And some suggestions, if your income varies from month to month, just do your best to estimate what comes in on average. You definitely want to go across several months so you can account for ups and downs. And in short, you can pull last year's tax return out and divide your total income by 12. Another thing is, what if taxes aren't deducted from your monthly paycheck? Well, then you estimate the taxes you will pay at tax time and deduct them from your regular monthly income. Again, if you need help, look at last year's tax return. What if you get extra income from a side business or from working overtime? It's important to estimate what you take home on average, after taxes, of course, and add it in with the rest of your income. What if your employer deducts health insurance premiums from your check? The deduction of health insurance premiums means you have to get your total income before those deductions are taken. And that same point goes for all kinds of deductions for disability and life insurance. What if your employer contributes to a retirement plan or pension? You add the amount of your employer's contribution in with your total income. If these contributions are made once a year, just take the annual amount and divide by 12. Technically, these contributions aren't part of your take-home paycheck, but they build toward your lifetime savings, so we want to be sure to count them now. And then finally, what if you can't get an exact number? Just do your best. The point here is to get a reasonable estimate of your after-tax income so you can get started balancing your money. There won't be a team of accountants knocking on your door, so relax. And we will continue next week looking at the basics, your must-haves. This is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you have been listening to Life and Debt, your debt education program. If you have any questions or comments, call the station at 641-209-1083, or you can email me at lifeanddebt@gmail.com. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa. May you enjoy and have a healthy and prosperous debt manageable life.